I think most of you already know, but I'm going to confess anyway, just so it's out there in the open. I'm kind of a liberal, and I want you to know that. And the reason you would have already known that, or would have known that soon, is that one of my all-time favorite television shows is The West Wing. I love that show. There is an episode in that show where the interests of the United States are attacked, and we attack back with what is called a proportional response. The president says he doesn't like this response, but he's kind of his only choice. So he says, someday someone's going to have to explain to me the virtue of a proportional response. And his advisor says, that's all there is, because the alternative is to use our superior force to completely destroy the person or the country that has attacked us. The human world in general expects a proportional response. Our human instinct is, if someone hits us, we hit them back. If someone loves us, we love them back. If someone yells, we yell back. It's just the kind of thing we do. We sort of match what the other person sends in our direction. And I wonder if that conditioning is part of the reason why our thoughts about the arrival of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, I wonder if that causes us anxiety, because we think, uh-oh, all the things I've done, and when Jesus comes, I'm in big trouble. We know how often and how deeply we have failed to be the people we're called to be. And so something in our human framework says, expect a proportional response. Expect to get back what you have given. In other religious or spiritual traditions, it's called karma. You know, you get what you pay for, all those things. Proportional response is kind of our framework. So we read today in the gospel the story of the man who was born blind, healed by Jesus, given sight by Jesus. And we're conditioned to view that in the framework of proportional response. So the question is not whether anyone sinned. The question is, who sinned? The people who are asking the questions in this passage, they don't even consider the possibility of whether someone sinned or not. They just want to know who did it, who caused this. Was it the parents or was it the man himself? Who sinned, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? We love that framework because it's so familiar to us. But God's response to us is not proportional, at least not in that negative sense. If we yell at God, God loves us anyway. If we fail, God loves us anyway. If we show doubt, God loves us anyway. The continuing theme is that in relation to us, God does not act with a proportional response. And while we look at this story, at least I do, from my modern viewpoint, and I think of it as something foreign to me, of thinking that, oh, that person must have sinned so that this was visited upon them, we think of it as foreign, but it really does sneak in on us, this way of thinking. We still have it. How often has something happened to someone and you say, wow, you must be living right? Because the thought is, if something good happens to you, you must have done something to earn it. And by the same token, if you play out that theology, then if you see people who are afflicted with problems, if you want to hold to that theology, you must think, well, they've done something wrong to deserve this. This is something that we try to measure in our human world. We try to see who did something right that they got some kind of prosperity or some kind of gift in their life. Who did something wrong that they had these tragedies or crises visited upon them? But you can't equate outside or external or superficial success with the amount of grace given by God. We can never measure with human eyes the will or the grace of God. The whole book of Job is about this. You know, what did he do wrong? He was prosperous. He was rich. And these things happened to him. And the whole book, it comes across as kind of ridiculous, that it's like a bet between Satan and God. And yet we're trying to figure out, well, then why do these things happen? It must be that Job did something wrong. In our readings today, we have David. The choice of the successor of the king goes through all these people that seem on the surface to have earned it or to have the characteristics that we would want in a king, and yet one by one they're rejected, and David is chosen. Throughout the Psalms, we see this kind of thinking, this way of thinking that God favored me because I have done all the right things. I've lived according to your law. Psalm 18 is just one of many that says something like this. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. It's a way of thinking that we see in the gospel story. We often see in the Psalms. But sadly, we often see it in our own lives. We make assumptions about this cause and effect. But when we go from the old covenant to the new covenant, we see that grace is offered to all of us. We see that outward appearances are not indications of favor in God's eyes, because God doesn't require us to earn grace or to earn salvation. The psalm that we read today actually helps us combat that way of thinking, because it says no matter what I do, God will be there with me as my shepherd. The trials of this world, even the valley of the shadow of death, cannot best God. In the new covenant, we're all children of God, heirs of the promise, and we begin to live in hope, and we begin to expect something better, something higher than a proportional response. A person taught by this world in human ways to expect that proportional response hurts back. Only love in expectation of a return. A person like that seeks vengeance. But a person inspired by the grace of God, when hurt or attacked, that person loves and forgives and seeks reconciliation. It seems a bit too easy, though, at least it does to me, to think that God forgives our sins and our failures. You mean I don't have to do anything to earn that? And God's grace is equally available to all of us. It's an easy thought until you get to the place where you realize all of those persons loved by God and given the grace of God, even people who have hurt you fit in that category. Even the people that we think of as most evil in our world, I think Hitler used to be kind of the poster child for that. Nowadays, probably we would choose Osama bin Laden and say the grace of God is available to those people as much as it is to us. The question in my own personal life becomes this. God, in God's grace, has saved me from this world, resurrects me from every form of death. And knowing that, how will I live? Will I live as God will ask, loving God and neighbor? Because I have to remember, living in a godly way is not a cause of anything. It's an effect. If I know that I'm saved by the grace of God, the only appropriate response, the only proportional response, is gratitude. I have to thank God for saving me and thank God by living as God would have me live. When others hurt us, we long to return to that human version of the proportional response. And if we're honest, though, we admit that every person, including our own self, everyone is flawed. And if we're going to get what we deserve, every one of us is in trouble. But with the coming of Jesus, into the world, into the human heart, the fear that once motivated us can evaporate. And we find, ultimately, if we open the door to God's grace, we find ultimately the one thing we've always wanted, which is to be fully, deeply known and to be loved anyway. To be fully, deeply known and to be loved anyway. And that way of life, that kingdom of God, begins to come about when I choose to know others deeply and love them anyway. The world begins to turn toward God, all because one person chooses to love others as God loves us. In the TV show, the military advisor told the president that proportional response is all there is. And it is, if we choose human ways over divine ones. But something else is possible with the coming of Jesus. Because God isn't in the business of proportional response when it comes to sin or human failure. And ultimately, the conclusion I've come to is that the only proportional response that is appropriate is for me to respond with gratitude for what God has given me. I show that gratitude every time I choose to love other people as God loves me. That's the proportional response God plants in us. And for Christians, that's all there is. Amen.
Amen.